The Great Canadian Talk Show.
It was only a couple of watts, but I brought the truth to everyone within three blocks of the west side of campus.
No way! Yes way!
And now, let's get right down to business with Marty Gold.
Welcome to the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. I'm Marty Gold. This is episode 29 of season 4. The episode, the first part of this episode is going to focus on what's going on at City Hall, what went on Wednesday, and in particular on the neighborhood that we're based out of and have been for over a decade in St. Boniface, and more particularly Happyland Park, the area that runs eastward. Once you leave the downtown St. Boniface area, so to speak, on Marion, I'm going to be talking about what happened with the Happyland Park pool and disappointing doesn't describe the lack of logic that City Hall has used in, and there's a lot of commentary coming from area residents and my own observations. I'm going to be getting into that in just a moment. Second part of this podcast, some feedback about, in particular, my analysis of Wapkinu's Gaza Gambit, trying to play both sides, but really virtue signaling to the Hamas supporters in Winnipeg and Manitoba. And so it was sort of a precursor to the abandonment of the Jewish community by the federal Liberals and federal NDP that followed Canoe's his ploy to try to play the middle on that. Some interesting reader and listener feedback I got with regards to that podcast. More about our fundraising campaign. We're past the halfway mark. $1,800 to go, $2,000 in. I want to thank our recent donors that have pushed us past that halfway mark. And I'm going to be extending the fundraising campaign past April 1st by about another week. It was pointed out to me that we're running up against some other factors that would take people away from being able to consider the important reasons why this work needs your support to be able to continue and why this work is so important. I'll get into that in the second part of the podcast. Thank you to those who have donated throughout the campaign and especially most recently pushing us past the halfway point to that $3,800 goal. And one of the reasons, as I'll explain, I cover neighborhoods unlike any other reporter in Winnipeg. And I do it because I'm committed to this city and I'm not committed to the narrative. And I have the experience to see through what's going on and bring people the straight goods. That ties in actually with part one here about Happyland Park. Those who followed my career, so to speak, in public broadcasting, both in campus radio and on community TV, one of the big impressions and probably the biggest story in terms of City Hall that I covered. Yeah, I can't even say that because the fire hall story was pretty big. Does City of Winnipeg own that fire hall in Taylor yet? What do we pay for it? Nobody knows. I was all over that story when we were on Shaw TV with City Circus. But another story that I broke it really exclusively, nobody wanted to talk about it. When I went to an open house and saw what the plan was to expropriate 140 properties and install what I dubbed the Marion Freeway, and you then had the spectacle of high-paid city officials cry, oh, it's not a freeway, when that's what it was, that would have walled in the neighborhood on the southeast corner of Archibald and Marion, walled them in with one way in, one way out, taken out half of Happyland Park. I alone in the Winnipeg media raised the alarm, talked about how that neighborhood, which had no residents association, and city officials, they count on neighborhoods being asleep at the switch. They count on neighborhoods being unable to mobilize to get their community informed and engaged. These bureaucrats, these planners, these urban visionaries, they count on neighborhoods being too meek, too mild, too unprepared, too uninformed to stop their evil plans to destroy neighborhoods. That's what was planned for Happyland Park with the Marion Freeway. the Archwood neighborhood, which would be the southeast corner. And then to the north of that, when you're going towards Lagimodier, driving down Marion, going eastbound, on the left side there is the Dufresne neighborhood. And that was also going to get wiped out. The streets like Kavanaugh. The neighborhood itself wasn't going to be wiped out. The quality of life in that neighborhood would have been wiped out. With, as I said, many businesses, the frontage of the church was going to be reduced like 10 feet. They're going to widen the roadway so you'd have 10 feet before the church doors. It was ludicrous. It was crazy. It was evil. And the South St. Boniface Residents Association was formed, and they managed to stop it with Matt Allard flip-flopping. Being all for, well, let's just let the city process unfold without immediately going, we're talking about a plan to expropriate 140 properties. It's going to cost $500 million. That's nonsense. And that, of course, relates to the notion of an underpass for the rail line, which can't be done because there's not enough, literally enough runway to be able to put in an underpass under the federal regulations. That was the first attempt City Hall made under Brian Bowman to try to blockbust both sides of the street, but especially the south side. There's some reason why City Hall hates the people that live in that part of St. Boniface. For one thing, they aren't very rich. You're not going to find a $1 million property anywhere in this neighborhood. I don't think any of the new builds could possibly approach $1 million or even $750,000. And when you look at the property values there, people bought those houses originally, in a lot of cases, say 1994, 5, 6, those houses would have been, say, 45 grand. A lot of them are now, as I understand it, they're valued somewhere between like 180 and maybe 250. They're just, it's not a rich neighborhood. A lot of them are retired. It has a very traditional demographic. And City Hall, having failed to ram the freeway through, well, now they've decided on a new tactic. Instead of the wholesale destruction of the quality of life in the neighborhood, City Hall is going to try incremental erosion of the area, even while they trumpet the Market Lands development on Archibald, the former Canadian Packers site, which is going to be bringing in, is it 2,000 units? I'm trying to remember how many residents. Big development. But they keep doing things to undermine the existing tax base, the existing businesses, the existing homeowners. Now, the people that live there, and this is not just in that, when I mentioned that southeast quadrant, it also is on the other side of the Seine River. In other words, this eastern part of the downtown, what would be downtown St. Boniface, okay, like off de Muron, when you turn right going east, you following me? Horace, those streets like that, Horace, Eugenie, those streets. And then there's the neighborhood that borders onto the other side of the Seine River. Okay, it's quiet, tucked away. The city even put one of their restricted speed zones in there, and I think one of the bike path type arrangements in there on Edgewood, I think it is. So this is a neighborhood that perhaps is separated by a river, but they had common amenities, in particular Happy Land Park. People on both sides of the Seine River, they've seen over the last few years exactly what's going on to the quality of life of their neighborhood. Repeated break-ins, creeps wandering through their yards at all hours of the day and night. The arrival of group homes, where some of the residents of the group homes, as espoused by no less than the police chief himself, Danny Boy Smythe, you've got these kids under provincial care. And while Nahanni Fontaine, the families minister, flits to, and I'll be talking about her in an upcoming podcast, believe you me, while she flits to and fro to Ontario and the United Nations with her 12-inch nails and her grandiose, with her self-aggrandizing pronouncements about her wonderful accomplishments and career. Kids in the foster care system get degrees in how to be criminals, terrorizing seniors, robbing. Remember, I reported on the podcast last year, the robbery of a number of delivery drivers. So the neighborhood has become increasingly less safe. They've seen almost no regard given to them by their city councilor, Matt Allard. Because the last thing Matt Allard gives a shit about is anything that's going on up and down the Marion and Goulet corridor. We know from the plan to erase 99 parking spots along the Marion, in that Marion downtown area in St. Boniface, that he has never spoken up about, never explained why it was kept secret at the open house. But again, this guy thought it'd be great to spend, until there was so much blowback, he decided he didn't like the idea. He was fine with the idea of eliminating the neighborhood to the east. Like, there's something weird going on with this whole Marion stretch. These people see it. They're living the effects of it in their own homes and their own businesses. And even though they see how many kids line up to use that pool with the limited number of hours, deliberately understaffing it in terms of lifeguards, and it was deliberate by the city, restricting the hours and saying, oh, pool doesn't get used much. The city now trying an incremental erosion of the area. They will now, according to the vote on Wednesday, demolish the Happyland Park pool. And along with having neglected the wading pool for years and years, the people who use that park, use that pool to cool off in the summer, will have nothing. No splash pad. No nothing. Maybe the city should hand out, sprinklers and garden hoses. Now, Windsor Park, to their credit, that neighborhood organized greatly. And they have gotten a brief reprieve for the Winnaqua pool. And that's where Matt Allard focused his efforts. He made a big deal about the petition to save Winnaqua, the pool in Windsor Park. Got 1,100 signatures. As I understand, it had 1,100 signatures, but it was an online petition. The people by Happyland Park, they didn't sit on their couch and click a button. They got up, they went door to door, and they probably had there were petitions, obviously, at some of the area businesses, like Johnny's on Marion, for instance, right, or Hair Passion. They collected 2,300 hard copy signatures. 2,300. And yet City Hall voted against them. They see 100 kids waiting to use that pool every summer. And City Hall said, tough shit. Too bad. And this is over $83,000, is it? Now keep in mind, these people had a lot of support to save their pool, including from the developer of the Market Lands. Point out, they're bringing thousands of people to the neighborhood. This would be their pool too. The city didn't see fit to invest in it. Does that make any sense to you? On the face of it, on the surface, it certainly doesn't. And the Manitoba Métis Federation submitted two letters hinting strongly that they would look at investing into preserving the pool. In one ear and out the other of your esteemed city council, with few exceptions. Can you imagine groups coming forward saying, save the pool, developers saying, save the pool, the Métis Federation saying, save the pool, and the city deciding for under $100,000, we're too broke to do it? The city of Winnipeg, too broke to save that pool. Now, if it weren't for the coincidence of how they try to ram through a freeway and misinform the residents in 2015, 2016, you wouldn't think the same. But there's clearly a pattern of behavior here. The residents went to City Hall to meeting after meeting. This is average taxpayers. None of them are professional organizers, professional lobbyists. What did City Hall hear on Wednesday? I don't get it. I can't understand why you can't find $82,000 for us. Perhaps you forgot to give us a splash pad. That's okay. We'll take the $82,000 for our pool. Give us the chance to raise the money, which we shouldn't have to do. Now, there's this idea that, well, it's so plain and there's this concept of an aquatic center to serve all of St. Boniface, sort of like how they amalgamate community centers all into one, right? A fancy pool isn't necessary for us, just the $82,000. And council had no questions. No questions for that presenter. Is it because they're ashamed of themselves? Well, they should be. Oh, I almost used a bad word. And yes, I'm hot about this. Because as one of the other presenters said, and I know these people from the battle against the Marion Freeway, and one of them went back another time to City Hall, and what did she say? St. Boniface seems to always be the first to lose when it comes to cutbacks. Then they are turning St. Boniface into the north end of the south end. This concept, and I hate to say this, but I understand that our good pal, Jeff Brawati, said that he couldn't understand why people want to save this pool if there's going to be a new aquatic center. Jeff, I dare you. I'll dare him to his face next time I see him. I dare you. I dare you to walk from, well, let's just pick Teasers, right? The strip bar at the corner, Marion and Archibald. I dare you to walk from there with two little kids to go to the pool on Provence. Now, I suppose Brody here, or another counselor, not to pick just on Jeff, I'll pick on all of them. Well, you just grab the bus. Well, notwithstanding the bus schedules, waiting for a bus and, you know, oppressive 25 or 30 degree heat outside. Well, where's that bus going to take you to? What bus cuts through the neighborhood that takes you to the pool? Believe me, you'd have to really think hard to figure that part out. Because there isn't a lot of north-south buses, you know, going up and down Lake Damieron. It's crazy. Nobody is going to walk from, again, Brawati or any counselor, I welcome you to walk from Happyland Pool to walk to the pool on Provence. I dare you. Oh, in the summer, might I add. Let's make sure it's a warm day where you'd have a reason to walk. This is ridiculous. It's a long tramp, as the sign on Portage Avenue says. You're going through St. James heading out of town. It's a long tramp, especially if you're taking kids. And then this idea of using the Provence pool, the demand will exceed the supply. These people on the area that I'm talking about by Marion and Archibald, the Frey neighborhood, they'll have to leave like 2 hours early to line up to get in line with the people that are 5 or 10 minutes away or 3 minutes away in that Provence neighborhood to use that pool. Now you're going to have how many hundreds of kids and their parents waiting? Not waiting with a D, waiting with an IT. Waiting. Competing to get into the pool. And make no mistake, this concept of a new aquatic center, all the pool in Provence is getting old too, and that's going to cost money. And I don't mean money to build. I mean money to use. And you've got a lot of poor, working class, seniors, families struggling. The new north end of the south end. And the idea that City Hall has is to replace it with a paid amenity, a paid pool. Now, our city mothers and fathers, they turn around and they say, hey, listen, we gave the YMCA like $150,000 for, you know, all these poverty-struck swimmers. But as I understand it, that subsidy of 150 grand, that only covers 60% of the cost. In other words, even to go to the Y, they think, well, people can take a bus all the way to the Y or whatever, ride their bikes, who knows, as though your bike's not going to get stolen going to the Y. That still doesn't cover the cost. It's a fake, empty gesture. It's a slap in the face to the working class, the poor, the seniors on that Marion Street corridor. As one of the residents said to me when I explained I was going to be doing a commentary about this, City Hall is creating a city people aren't going to want to stay in. Let that sink in. Councillor Russ Wyatt putting out a lengthy statement calling the budget mean-spirited and nasty, an attack on working families and their neighborhoods. Councillor Wyatt of Transcona, no stranger to this program, making the point, had we, as he puts it, quote, had we not made the investment in Transcona by building the Transcona Aquatic Park, which is a beautiful facility, by the way, they would have tried to close that former old outdoor pool too, but now it's just too popular. Thanks to the reinvestment. Thank God. And I've seen that pool and it's packed and it's beautiful. Wyatt, going after what he called an old-style, hard-right conservative city budget, pointing the finger specifically at Brawati, Janice Lukes. Janice, now the budget's over, I expect you're going to provide us with that interview. And Mayor Scott Gillingham, he pointed the finger at the mayor, of course, said that this budget went after and cut dozens of wading pools, cut outdoor pools, is trying to close the Sherbrooke pool, cuts to policing, ignored what is now an arson crisis in the inner city with over 500 fire calls in Winnipeg since January 1st of this year. Plans to close the West Kildonan Library and offering up some splash pads, but many neighbors will see the loss of three or four wading pools with a replacement of only one splash pad. As Councillor Wyatt put it, in the old days, council would close an old arena, but it was part of an overall plan that had new reinvestment made, such as into a new arena nearby and beforehand. This time, that's not happening. Random closures and threats of future closures, city facilities, the way of this mayor, Chair of Finance Barwadi, and Deputy Mayor Janice Lukes. As he points out, all card-carrying PC members that are running our city into the ground. Now, he starts to differentiate between compassionate conservatives and red Tories, though he says it's like the Duff Roblin or John Diefenbaker, yet these Tories at City Hall are more like the Brian Pallister lot. Oh, that's got a sting. Making matters worse, and this is the part I really wanted to get to. At one time, we had at City Hall strong counselors like Harvey Smith, Mike Pactican, Dan Vandell, or Harry Lazarenko. These former counselors would have stood up and fought for their communities instead of the group we have today rolled over in the face of the cuts being made in the budget and to their communities. And I am told that Wyatt looked right at Matt Allard when he made that statement. People didn't think we elected a mayor who would open Portage in Maine, especially after he promised to keep it closed, saying it would be disrespectful to the people to ignore their wishes. Wyatt saying he'll continue to fight for common sense and compassionate government at City Hall. So Wyatt, who's already an outsider at City Hall, firmly staking his ground, so to speak, staking out his turf on the far outside of council. It's been evident for quite a while. I think that City Council's made some bad decisions, but the worst decisions have been made by Matt Allard, the councillor for St. Boniface, who's failed to engage and repeatedly people who live up and down Marion and Goulet are seeing the results of his devotion to a certain vision, an urban vision that excludes proper public consultation, that demeans their concerns, that doesn't address the realities on the ground, whether it involves public safety that he never talks about in this neighborhood. And people can't shake the idea that there's some other plan afoot, and that Allard knows it, and that he may have been part of it. It makes no sense to diminish use of Happyland Park unless the city's got some other plan, and they don't care if that neighborhood has a park worth visiting. They don't care if that neighborhood is safe enough to live in and grow old in. This is, by any stretch of the imagination, a failure, because when Matt Allard trumpets bike lanes and active transportation trails, all the other stuff that he's bragged about and focused on, he spent how much time worrying about plowing snow off of sidewalks, which, by the way, I saw this winter, the trails through La Vérendrye Park get done while the sidewalks leading to and from the St. Boniface Hospital waited for another 12 hours. That's the legacy of his being chair of public works. There's no doubt that the conduct of Allard when he had power under Brian Bowman and he was in charge, that he rubbed people the wrong way, and there's give and take at City Hall, and there was no give back in Matt Allard's direction, because this Winnaqua reprieve is next to nothing. He has failed the people of St. Boniface. Whether it's the secret to steal 99 parking spots away from the area businesses, or all of a sudden there's bike lanes that can't be used all winter long and Goulet is a wreck because of the mismanaged construction project with a road that's so uneven and, of course, pitted already. So people, you know, lose rims, lose tires. But he doesn't need the votes here. Why do you advocate so strongly for Windsor Park? Where does Matt Allard live now? You're right. Windsor Park. So he went to bat for the neighborhood he is raising his kids in. And only belatedly, half-heartedly, pretended to go to bat for the people he had insulted in 2015 and 2016 with his concept of ramming a freeway through their neighborhood, walling them in, and eliminating all the businesses in the neighborhood, pretty much. Might be time for a town hall in St. Boniface. Maybe somebody should suggest to Matt Allard. He faced the voters, faced the residents, faced the stakeholders, faced the business owners, and explain how he failed to save Happyland Park Pool and what he's going to do about it. Back to wrap up this episode right after these words.
Because of you, the Great Canadian Talk Show has made headlines for over 15 years and forced important issues to be acknowledged and dealt with.
The problem here is that they want everything their own way in every situation. It's unpalatable to the general public, but they're frozen out by the process.
There are no subsidies for paying the bills for keeping the government honest.
They just see money. Of course, it's your tax dollars, but it's being spent on their pet projects.
We're on your side.
A lot of these people in special interest groups, they don't bear any relationship to your life out there. They don't have any handle on what your reality is in your neighborhood.
Support old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters.
The best source of information is not the city councilor. It is this program and you listeners.
Support TGCTS today.
This episode of The Great Canadian Talk Show is sponsored by PKP Renovations and Repairs. We take pride in the neighborhoods we work in, serving the North End, West Kildonan, and the Maples Garden City area for over 20 years. Call 204-297-5446 or email us at info@pkprenovations.com. We help make sure Winnipeg has good homes for good people.
Jamrock Security has effective and creative ways to help protect your business, your home, and your community. Jamrock gets the job done so you can rest easy. Go to jamrocksecurity.ca or call us at 204-880-1564. Do security. Do it smart. Jamrock Security.
Every episode of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast is available on actionline.ca. Actionline.ca is your home of public affairs in Winnipeg. Believe me, you don't hear anything like what I discuss about what's going on in the West End on Sargent Avenue, what's going on in St. Boniface, what goes on in the North End. You don't hear anything like it on Winnipeg radio. And you won't, because they aren't committed to your neighborhood. They don't understand your neighborhood. They don't have lived experience in your neighborhood the way I do. I want to mention also, I did hear from one city councilor subsequent to one of our last podcasts. And I do want to mention this to be fair. I did hear from a city councilor. I want to be careful of what I think I can and can't put on the record here. But I heard from Councillor Rossi. He was a regular listener of this program and very much appreciated. And he did say that he managed to prevent the closing of three wading pools when Clara Hughes Park, the wading pool that I grew up at on Matheson. I grew up on Lansdowne, Matheson, next block over. My grandparents down the block across the street from the synagogue. He said that that was the only one that was closed. So he talked a little bit about the, you know, the back and forth, and it was an aging population in that neighborhood and fewer kids. And I acknowledge that Councillor Eady made points with regards to this. I want to be fair to him. He did point out with the free water features, meaning the splash pads, people on the border of the St. John's and Jefferson neighborhood boundaries need to walk an extra 8 blocks to Peanut Park and 7 blocks to the West Kildonan Community Center. And he described how he was having a tough time with his budget in terms of where the money was and wasn't. And also said the public service used participation user data and the age of the pools, location, lowest income levels, and other factors with regards to the St. Boniface pools, saying that they took some time to figure out what to do considering there's 15 wards. He did make a note that with Councillor Lardy's experiencing what this out-of-power structure, meaning Edie never being part of the power structure, has had to face for 14 years and is still fighting. I just want to make sure people know that even though I don't agree with councillors, I don't agree with their decisions, but at least Ross Edie, to his credit, tries to explain some part of the process. And in his defense, again, the closure of Clara Hughes, him saying that he was able to get other amenities. In this case, Allard delivered nothing. There's no new splash pad planned or anything in that neighborhood. And you hear where Edie's talking about people walking 7 or 8 blocks to be able to find something. What was that quote I had at the end of the first segment? The city council is creating a city that people aren't going to want to stay in. Your feedback, of course, welcome. MartyGoldLive@gmail.com. Your story tips, your comments about previous podcasts, and donations via Interact. You can go to the donate page at actionline.ca. You'll get the link for our PayPal there. And of course, I'm always willing, as I did last week, to meet with listeners and accept a contribution while having a conversation about exactly what they want to see covered on this podcast and on the actionline.ca platform in terms of articles, features, etc. As we look towards expanding what we're doing, covering public, and boy, there's never been a bigger need for public affairs coverage. This budget proves it. And that's why I'm humbly asking for your help. And there'll be more about that in the upcoming episodes we put on the push. I will mention, the originally I had set this to April 1st was point out that I'm running right into the Easter weekend with this at the tail end. That's never good for any kind of fundraising campaign. And also my birthday comes up at the beginning of April. It's like, why aren't you running it through your birthday? Well, good question. So we're going to extend it to April 7th. April 7th. Hopefully you listening that you'll share this. You'll tell people who haven't listened to the program about my passion, about my insight, about the decades of experience, the institutional memory I bring, standing up for neighborhoods, standing up for communities. Not a dime from Justin Trudeau, not a dime from government. Private individuals fund this kind of work. This is what I'm trained in. The clock is ticking. I don't have a lot more years to do this. And I need your help to stay on the beat and to hold City Hall, to hold the legislature, to hold the media honest. $20 donations, $25 donations, I've gotten those. I've gotten donations for a lot more. It all adds up. It all helps. And whether it's the very shocking bill for hosting, the back end stuff for publishing actionline.ca and other costs, I dedicate my career. At this stage of life, I'm dedicated to doing what I can to make Winnipeg a better place and to make sure that people are engaged with City Hall in particular and with the legislature. So, having explained that the campaign is going to extend a little bit, also having brought forward these comments from Councillor Edie, which I probably should have put in segment one, I did mention I have had some feedback with regards to other podcasts in particular, because I don't want to run too long here with this part two. I mentioned the episode I did analyzing Wab Kanu's Gaza Gambit. And, I said at the outset, right at the beginning of that podcast, this isn't for everybody. It's going to be talking about the Middle East and what Wab Kanu said about it. And it held a surprising degree, a surprising level of the audience, for which I very much appreciate people listening to it, because it's important to know who your premier is pandering to, what kind of elements in society he's trying to curry favor with, which mob he doesn't want to suddenly tear down a statue when he's the premier. That was episode 27. Two comments in particular Great podcast. One note. The locations that were targeted on October 7th were in sovereign Israel. That'll be the what's called the Gaza envelope. October 7th, those targets. Settlements, in quotations, settlements, unfortunately, has the connotation of being in the area of Judea and Samaria, otherwise called the West Bank, and are often believed falsely to be illegal. Just saying, the pogrom, the murder, the butchery, the savagery on October 7th did not happen in so-called occupied territory, a point that the Winnipeg media never makes, and that Wab Kanu didn't make either. Imagine that. Another comment from a regular listener: no other media outlet in town will even give Israel fair treatment, and Kanu is a media darling. One thing I took note of during your podcast was Kanu's remark that the Israel-Hamas war threatened reconciliation here. How could that be the case? I just want to interrupt. I didn't catch that at first. I thought he meant reconciliation between the what I'll normally call Jewish or Israeli and Arab communities in Winnipeg, or maybe Palestinian communities, of which I believe there's 1,000 people who identify as Palestinian in Winnipeg. That's how I interpreted it first. Maybe I got that wrong. This commenter saw it differently, thinking that this remark by Wab Kanu about how it threatened, the war threatens reconciliation. Is it because Aboriginal activists see Israel as a settler colonialist project and they identify with Hamas as fellow decolonizers? Well, that might be what Kanu was signaling, and if he was signaling that, he'd be very wrong, and it's a very dangerous road to go down, no different than the idiotic Liberal member of Parliament who said that as long as the war is going on, we can't do anything to deal with anti-Semitism in Canada. And he then tried to backtrack that unsuccessfully. Anyways, I take pride in this being the only media platform in Winnipeg that even tries to broach the subject of what's going on in the Middle East and defend Western values and defend the value of having an ally in the Middle East, such as Israel, and a society like Israel. I take pride in taking on all the big shots in politics, whether it was Brian Bowman at the civic level, rewarded with a career job for God knows what, and I'm going to have to talk about that one day, because all this ass-kissing of Brian Bowman that went on when he was appointed a judge is just absolutely stomach-churning. But I never hesitated to take on Brian Bowman. I've never hesitated to take on Nahanni Fontaine. She will, of course, be the subject of an upcoming podcast. Math is Hard for Lefties is still coming up. And that is still a developing story, by the way. And you'll love it when I get around to it. I will mention, as I have before, Crime Court's Public Safety Updates, regular feature of this program. There will be an interview, I think, in the next couple of weeks with Mike Voyatkis and talking about the murder of his brother, Kyriakos. The Voyatkis family having gone through a period of mourning, but Mike has signaled that he wants to follow through with his offer to do an interview on this program. I look forward to that. Counselor Jason Schreier, having committed to an interview. Again, budget season over. Jason Schreier, we'll get him on the air. Jeff Brawati, we're going to get you on the air. Janice Lukes, I'm going to be reminding your office that it's no longer budget season, so you should also be able to spend a few minutes talking with us and addressing the audience of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. And who knows? Maybe one day we'll even get Mayor Scott Gillingham. I've interviewed him before. Why shouldn't I be able to interview him again? Your questions, your comments, your concerns, your ideas for interviews. MartyGoldLive@gmail.com. Check out the donate page. Please help us go through that through this fundraising campaign so that at the end of it, I can say it's a success. I can say that the costs are met. I can say that another year of the hosting costs with GoDaddy are paid for and all the rest of it, so I can stay on the beat, so I can stay on the case, so I can keep asking questions, so I can keep having your voice heard, your concerns listened to, holding the politicians accountable, holding the bureaucrats accountable, whether it's in the North End, whether it's in the West End, whether it's in St. Boniface, even in St. Vital where Brian Mays is. Another loyal listener of this program. And the good people of Transcona. I know that there are people out in Transcona listening. I do my best to tell the stories that aren't being told by the media. And if they are telling the stories, they're only telling half the story or they're doing it half-assed. And as media jobs are frittered and away and attritioned away, is that a word? Attritioned away, whether it's at the Free Press or other outlets everywhere but CBC, your support, your contributions will keep me going, making sure that you have a voice, that your questions are asked, and that there's a constant reminder to those who think that they can bully you, they can push you around, they can tell you what's best for your neighborhood. There will be a constant reminder, as long as I'm able to do this kind of work, where I will be telling them, the people, the listeners, the taxpayers, the ones who are writing the checks to pay your salaries, they have the power. And that means you. You have the power. And I will always stand up for you. Thank you for listening.
When you support the Great Canadian Talk Show, your donation makes sure that the investigations, the interviews, the fact-finding, the truth-telling can carry on. When you sponsor the Great Canadian Talk Show, you're telling the community that you think their stories matter. Our public affairs coverage continues to make a difference, challenging the slanted media narratives and giving a voice to the community. When you provide funding for the Great Canadian Talk Show, you're supporting old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters. Support TGCTS today.
Thanks for listening to the Great Canadian Talk Show. If you want to email Marty, send it to tgcts1@gmail.com or follow him on Twitter @tgcts.